Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in again to another episode of the Full Frontal Living podcast. And this week I am joined by a guest again. And these guests are so special because I want to introduce you to Monique, who's a client of mine. We've been working together for 6-7 months now. And her story is really, really remarkable around her emotional transformation, physical transformation, like what has happened because of the emotional transformation, what's transpired with her physical transformation. And I just think it's so important to bring on people who've had the experience of doing this work, who've been in the trenches, so that you can understand what is possible for you if you're listening thinking, well, I could never do that, or how do you even start? So thank you for coming on today, Monique. It's great to see your face. You guys can't see her face, but I can see her face. And I'm so grateful that you're taking the time to share your story with me and to share your story with the listeners. So tell everybody, where were you when you started this work? And tell us a little bit about who you are and, you know, your whole jam, and tell everybody about your amazing business and how we met. And
okay. Thank you for having me. I'm a little nervous, but super, super excited and love you to death. So absolutely. I'm so happy to be here. I am an owner of the bakery that I started. We're actually coming up on our 1 year anniversary this next month in August. And it's been a whirlwind journey in the last year. I actually first met you, Lisa, at a retreat that was put together around bakers and bakery owners and in California. And I don't know if you remember this, but one day, I don't know, I was having a moment, and it was like one of the first times that I was really away from my son. And I was having a moment, and you just picked up on that intuitively, I think. And you said some stuff to me that was pretty profound. And it really, when you said it, I was like, holy crap, she's like looking through my soul. And like, I didn't even say anything to you, and you're just like reading me. So at that moment, I knew, I said, wow, this lady's got something. And I just need to be with her, whatever she's doing. And so then we embarked on the weight loss from within. You sent that program out to us, and that was a little too heavy for me the first time around. It sent me into some really deep, dark places that I didn't really want to go and did not intend to go. And so quite honestly, I backed down from it. I just knew it was just too much too soon for me. And then that's when I realized that I really needed to do some more deeper, in-depth one-on-one, because I felt like if I couldn't get through something like that, a program like that, without having someone there with me to make sure I don't get stuck in dark places. So I was really scared. And so then that's when we started our one-on-one coaching. That was a big step for me as well. I really wasn't sure if I wanted to do it because I'm a private person and I don't like to share. And I just felt like, wow, you know, but I knew that something needed to change. I was not happy where I was in life, anywhere. My bakery was consuming every moment of my life. I was not being the best me I could be. Struggling with my weight, obviously. Just really having some real trouble getting through. And I just finally made the decision that I was just going to dive in and go where Lisa was going to take me.
And I'm so glad you did. And that retreat was that was put on by Janelle Copeland, mm-hmm. the Cake Mamas. She mentors people who are growing their businesses, taking their bakeries or home-based businesses and helping them learn how to be profitable, because so many of us, we're so good at what we do, whether it's cake decorating or coaching, but then we don't actually know how to run a business. So this retreat was such a cool opportunity for me because, you know, now we've dropped the fitness girl, call myself the fitness girl, into the middle of bakers with cookies and I remember opening the pantry and just being like, oh my gosh, I need to go upstairs far away because what you guys may or may not realize about me, I love candy. I love sweets. So it was like putting the drug addict in the middle of the drug house again, right? The recovering drug addict. And then all you guys were telling me, oh, we don't actually eat this stuff anymore because we're around it all the time. And I was jonesing. I'm like, oh my goodness, especially the caramel apple night, but I digress. We're going back in. It's an amazing group of women. And I was so grateful to be a part of that. So you're right. Everybody got access to Weight Loss from Within, which is actually a self-study program. And I just closed doors on running it live. And I think what you said is really powerful. When we haven't ever slowed down enough to look at the stories that we're telling ourselves, and that's what Weight Loss Within is all about, is it's a self-guided, in this case, you know, I'm running it live, but it's a self-guided program where you get to reflect on what's going on in your head. And what happened for you is you got into it and you realized, I had no idea this was going on in my head and I was wrestling with all of it. It got a lot because it is so hard to stay in the room with our own discomfort. It is so challenging to be present with the things that, you know, with the stories that we bring up. Like when we realize that, it's like standing in the room with a bunch of monsters surrounding you that you've spent your entire life running from. And that's what most of my clients, when they come to me, they don't, you know, they're starting to realize that there's so much stuff going on for them that they don't want to be present to. And that's what's making them feel so crappy. That's why they're struggling with their weight. That's why they're struggling with their health. That's why they're working all the hours, or they've lost themselves in their children, right? Everything becomes about everything else because we literally do not know how to be in relationship with ourselves. And I know that sounds so funny, but look at your life. If you're listening to this thinking, wow, that sounds like me, look at your life. If you can't spend 30 minutes by yourself doing nothing, not cooking, not cleaning, not baking, not walking, not exercising, but just sitting for, you know, 20, 30 minutes by yourself, that says a tremendous amount about how disconnected you are from yourself and how unwilling you are to be in that quiet space. So I was really proud of you when you reached out and said, you know, I need help with this, because you had two options. You could have just shut the door of the closet again.
Right.
I'm not going
there. And locked it.
And locked it, right? I'm just going to numb this out for another couple of years. But you realized that you couldn't unknow some of the things that you would let out. Like you'd open the closet, you'd turned on the light, you saw the mess that was in there.
Right.
And you were like, wait a minute. I know that there's something better for me. So we started our work together. So how were you feeling about yourself? Like, what was the biggest thing when you started Weight Loss from Within that you discovered about yourself that you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know this was here?
Wow. That's a good question. There was just so much, and it was even really the first day, just doing the journaling around how I felt about myself. Like that was just so eye-opening, and really one of the reasons why I really wanted to do the one-on-one, just because I recognized there was so much, I don't want to say hatred, but just so much hatred that I internalized towards myself. And the stories, when you say stories, for me, includes the stories that run in loops in your head. You know, you're here, that you're that self-talk thing. That was a huge thing for me when we first started. It just was nonstop, and it was not good stuff. You know, and that was really one of my main goals, is just trying to get that to stop, or change the conversations that were happening in my head.
Did you realize before you started journaling around that what you were telling yourself?
No, not at all. I never even really paid attention to it, or paid even thought that it was there until I started journaling. I went, wow, this is the stuff that I'm saying to myself all the time. And it just was really eye-opening, because it's weird in a way to say that I didn't really recognize that I was doing that until I wrote it down. But that's really ultimately the truth. It didn't make sense. It didn't sound like me until I wrote it down. Like, wow, that's me. That's what I'm saying all the time.
Yeah. So day one, as you're listening to this, if you're like, well, what was the question that I asked? Like, what was this like big aha question? And I've got day one in front of me, and it simply is, how do you feel about food and your body? And I ask my clients to write out everything you say to yourself about your body, all the emotion you feel about it, all the emotion you felt about food, everything, and brain dump it. And that's when we get clarity, is when we have the courage to get quiet and actually get present with ourselves, right? Most people don't sit around going, what am I thinking about today? Yet we're driven constantly by our thoughts, and our thoughts and our emotions are so connected.
Right.
So once you got the thoughts out on paper, now you had to realize and be present to, how does it make me feel knowing that this is what I'm thinking about myself every day? So many women discover that they're in this place of self-loathing, self-hatred towards their body, a disconnect with their body. They literally feel like their body is a separate entity from themselves.
Right.
And then it starts to make sense why we're not making it a priority. Because when you hate something, you don't want to spend time with it. When it's not good enough, you don't want to take care of it. Right. And we can't change our relationship with our body until we understand the thoughts and emotions that are driving the actions that we're taking. So this is why weight loss is so backwards, because we go into the doing phases. Well, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to exercise more. And then we fall off the wagon. We don't understand why. Well, when the internal dialogue is, I hate my body, nothing is good enough, it'll never change. Look at my thighs, I hate my stomach. It doesn't matter how much doing you do. That's not going to change the dialogue. When you change from the inside out, the physical transformation follows. So let's talk a little bit about kind of some of the work that we dove into, because we've had to do a tremendous amount of unpacking around how can we get Monique to this place where she can be more loving, accepting, nurturing to your body. How can we actually create this healthy relationship with you? And I would love for you to talk about where you're at now with that and what you do to nurture yourself now and how much that relationship has changed.
Right. So this is wow. So it's sometimes it's a little bit hard to kind of think back, because it's like, no, I'm not, that's no good anymore. That's not,
I love
not
it.
Good enough for me anymore. But so we did do a lot of work, and the mirror work was really, I think, monumental in terms of shifting, of the mindset shifting for me. And I don't know, you know, how deep you want me to get into all of that, but you talked about being disconnected from your body, and so much so where you will not even look at yourself in the mirror. Like you don't have any mirrors in your house that go below your neck. Like, I mean, that's the extent where I sunk to or was at. And so through our work together, I think the first major thing for me was feeling like getting to a point where I felt like I was enough. And once I kind of started to do that work and started to really make myself understand that I am enough, then the rest of the stuff kind of was easier to get through, because when you don't feel like you're enough, good enough, smart enough, thin enough, white enough, dark enough, you know, whatever, blonde enough, you know, you then become a non-person or non-worthy of anything in your life. And so getting through that and really getting to a point where I feel like, you know what, I am worth it and I am worthy, and has made it a lot easier. So I've been making a lot of different positive choices for myself because I am worth it. So if, you know, if I am just, and this is a silly example, but you know, if I get an order at the bakery that I really just not into, like just not my thing, like I'm just, no, I can't do it, sorry. And before, I was not able to say no. I had to do anything, you know, whatever people wanted, whatever they asked, I did it, because you know, I wasn't good enough, and if I did it, then maybe that would make me better and make people like me more or what have you. So that's a little teeny example, but you know, now currently I am making a lot better choices when I am wanting to eat something. If I'm hungry, I'm just making better choices, and not because I'm saying, you know, that I can't have this or I can't have that. Cause I do, I have ice cream occasionally. I have, you know, a cupcake. You can't work in a bakery and not have a cupcake occasionally. it's a different perspective now when I make those choices, where previously it was like, well, then I would beat myself up for 2 weeks because I had a cupcake, and then I'd have another cupcake because, you know, well, I messed up already, so I may as well have another one. And, but now it's different. It's like, okay, you know, you want a cupcake, have a cupcake, you know, that, you know, you're not really smart thing for your body to feed it so much junk. So just make good choices, you know, make better choices that are going to, feed you, you know, physically. And so, yes.
Nurturing, yes. Choices, right? You're making a play.
Yeah, yes.
You're making choices, not from should I or shouldn't I eat this, but
right.
Yes or no. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the cupcake is the most loving thing you can give yourself, right? Because food is joy and pleasure, but it's learning the difference between, am I eating this because it's about joy and pleasure and, you know, I'm just choosing to have a cupcake, versus I'm trying to numb out and not feel, and I'm not conscious, and I'm making this unconscious choice. And what I ask all my clients to do is just check in and say, is this the most loving thing I can put in my body? Is this the most nurturing thing I can give myself right now? Because sometimes what you really need isn't food. Sometimes you do need a cupcake. I like to say I've never really had a cupcake until I had Janelle's fancy cupcakes,
yeah. Right?
Like true bakery cupcakes. I think another thing that I wanted to loop back to when you were talking about the work around feeling good enough and feeling worthy, I think this is so important for the listeners to really get, is that when we're doing everything else for everybody else and we're putting everybody else in front of us, that is a symptom of low self-esteem, low self-worth, and feeling like we're not good enough, because we're literally trying to find our worthiness in being a good person, in being a good mom, in being a good friend, in being a good business owner. And, you know, I know when I realized that I had really low self-worth, it was devastating, because who wants to admit that about themselves? Wow, I really on the inside am not being very nice to myself and don't think I'm worthy or deserving of so many things. And that is really the work, is then saying, okay, what do I need to do every single day to put a deposit into my self-worth piggy bank? Whether it's looking at yourself in the mirror and just saying like, I'm amazing, or be kind, or just, you know, connecting in with your body, whether it's saying no to a cake order because it's going to bring you no joy, whether it's asking your husband to say, you know, can you take our son tonight? Cause I want to go for a walk, or I want to go to the gym, or I want to go out for coffee with the girlfriends. Making that time for you and making sure that you're not the last thing on the priority list. And that's what I want to reflect back to you. I've watched you nudge yourself up the priority list in your life, where you're really at the top now. It doesn't mean you're loving your son less, or you're not taking care of him or your husband. You actually have more to give them now, because you're showing up as a more whole person.
Right, right. Absolutely. I definitely, you know, around to that point, a lot of the work we've done is around me not obtaining or expecting or needing that validation from external. And that coming from internally, and that has been very, very life-changing as well, because that then frees me up from being the people pleaser and putting myself last. It gets rid of that pressure of having to put yourself last, because if you don't do for everyone else, then you're not going to get what you think you need from them. And so I'm learning. I'm not superwoman, and I still have moments, but I am learning that, you know, that needs to come from me first. And then anything comes from external is just icing on the cupcake. Icing
on the cupcake, right?
Yeah.
What I see with a lot of my clients is they are such big-hearted people. They genuinely care, right? And I toss myself into this category as well. So we get, every time we give, every time we help, we get an emotional hit. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. We get an emotional hit out of it. It makes us feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we're not willing to receive from other people, we block the natural flow of energy. And what we really need to focus on is receiving from ourselves.
Right.
So that internal validation is acknowledging every single day the things that make you uniquely you, or simply celebrating that, you know, you made the most amazing cupcakes today, or, you know, you did something big and bold at work, but actually acknowledging our own personal accomplishments and how we showed up in the day, right? We can internally validate the fact that we looked in the mirror and didn't look away.
Right.
So how do you have any kind of daily practice around giving yourself that internal validation and really celebrating you on a daily basis?
So, well, the one thing I do is, and this is going to maybe sound a little kooky, but I do have I do the mirror thing. So I still do my mirror thing. And now what I'm doing is, after I, you know, do my regular regimen, then I really think about, okay, so what did I do good for you today? Meaning my body, and what did I do to help you be the best? And so, those, then during that time, then I recognize, you know, choices I've made, or didn't make, and then, you know, acknowledge the ones that maybe could have been better choices. The other thing I do too is I make sure that, I am, present. And this is I don't remember what conversation, one of our sessions, you talked a little bit about not being, or the difference between your two kids, raising your younger boy versus your older son, and how, you know, not, your older son was a different experience for you. And you're much more present with your younger son, sorry. And so I am also doing that, paying attention, very close attention to, you know, I only have a few hours by the time I get home, before it's bedtime. So I really am trying to dedicate, you know, a lot of that time to him, without my phone in hand, not without answering emails, without answering text messages, so that he knows that although I may be gone most of the day, you know, at the bakery, that when I'm home, I'm there and available. And I think, it's changing our relationship, believe it or not. He's very much different in the last few months, much more connected to me, and initiates a lot of contact with me where he was not doing that previously. So that's something that, I mean, and as you know, he's like just my be all end all. So that's just super, super,
I love
that. I'm getting emotional.
You've done there is that, as women and high performing, high achieving women, we got all these things to do, all the balls to juggle. We think that by multitasking, we're doing more, but we're not. We're actually doing, like, we're not really showing up for things. What I encourage people to do is less better and get present. So I'm never going to be the round the clock mom. You're never going to be the round the clock mom. So it was looking, how can I make this time really quality time? How can I get really present and focused? Because if you're out for coffee with a friend and you're on the phone, they're not going to tolerate that. But we expect our kids to tolerate it because we think they don't notice. but they do. So in getting present, you've given him that gift and you've given you that gift. And I think it's so important that we also teach our kids what it means to unplug. Because I know all my kids, they don't even, what's unplugged, mom? Like when we take them to the lake and there's no Wi-Fi, you would think that, you know, I've taken them to Antarctica. So I really love that. I really also want to acknowledge you for the letting go that you've done with your son as well. Instead of, you know, Monique really wanted, so one of the things I see with many of my clients, they want to control all the pieces, and control is usually about safety. It gives us this, if we control all the things, we're going to be safe. We're going to be okay. Nothing bad will happen to us, but it's an illusion. We don't really have control, but we start controlling things we don't need to control. Like, you know, whether or not he puts on his entire Spider-Man costume.
Mask and all
for bed, which I loved. I saw that on Facebook and I'm like, I love him. Right? Instead of you like literally, you know, micromanaging every single thing he puts on, allowing him to explore and be free and realizing you're not going to die if your kid goes to school with mismatched socks and a shirt that clashes with the shorts.
Yeah, that was a huge day too, like letting go. I remember that now. Gosh, I'm having all these lovely flashbacks of all of our amazing things we've done. But yeah, I super control freak, especially when it comes to him, what he looked like. And because I think through our work, you know, I realized that it was more about what others thought of what he looked like rather than what he really looked like and how that would reflect to them what kind of parent I was. And so I always wanted everything matching and, you know, beautiful, looking very coordinated and neat and clean. And he's just at a point now where he is just not having it and he wants to do his own thing. And so there was a few days there where I was just struggling every morning. And then finally one day after talking with you, I just said, okay, he's just gonna, you pick it, whatever you want, you can wear. And it was the worst outfit I'd ever seen. It was pink and no, it was purple, red, and green. It was terrible. And I had to drive him to school that morning. It was my morning to drive him. And I'm going, okay, I can do this because it doesn't matter. He's a kid and he can wear what he wants. And it doesn't mean I'm a bad parent because his socks are green and his shirt is red. And so I got over it. And so now, honestly, I don't even bother with his clothes. Like he totally picks everything out. And if it doesn't match.
Where are you at in terms of letting go of other people judging you? Because here's the thing, people are always going to judge us, but when we're constantly focused on doing things in our lives or altering ourselves to try and avoid judgment, what we're really doing again is saying, I'm not good enough unless I'm accepted by everybody and everybody likes me and I belong. And it's a losing battle because like I said, people are always going to judge. So it's that willingness to come back and say, I am just going to do me and let go of that. Because by holding on to this belief and I got to avoid the judgment, it allowed you to perpetuate that I'm not good enough story. So I'd love to hear where you're at with that.
So the way I see it now, and you know, I can't say that I don't cringe a little with some of his choices for his clothes, but you know, I flipped it in my head that people will think I'm really super cool mom because I let him do that. Like I let him wear what he wants. And so, you know, like he'll go to the aquarium in full on Sonic the Hedgehog costume. Hey, he's a cool kid. Look at how cool he is that his mom lets him wear whatever, out in public. So I, whatever.
You know, how amazing, what an amazing lesson for him, because he's going to grow up. Right. Hopefully he'll hold on to that spirit, because we all, I think, hit that age where we look to our right and our left and we're like, oh, maybe this isn't cool. And that's when we actually start. So this starts for all of us at a really early age, when we start realizing, oh, wait a minute, I'm different from this person or I'm different from this person. And we start layering up with all these beliefs and rules and I have to avoid this and I have to be afraid of this. And, you know, it's when we hit our late 30s, early 40s that we're like, oh, why am I wearing all of these things that aren't mine? So I really hope that you continue to nurture that in him, to not be worried about what anybody else thinks of him, be kind, but to just really embrace that spirit and letting him have it. And hopefully you are letting go of you feeling like you're being judged by other people.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I've listened to, you know, I've done a lot of work through you, but because of you, with, you know, a lot of, I've listened to lots, and Rachel Hollis is a big one for me. I love her. She just speaks to me. She speaks my language. You know, it is what it is, and it's not going to, it doesn't determine how well I'm doing as a mom. If he wears something crazy, like, I actually think it's kind of cool now that I think
it's amazing. I love when I see kids dressed in full princess regalia or, you know, costume and they're out and about. I love it.
Yeah.
I also know that you did something that you were really in your head about for a long time, in fear of judgment. We talked about you going to the pool and actually wearing a bathing suit and getting into the water.
Yes. Yes. That has always been something for me. I've always either had a cover up on, or most times I would not even get in the pool. I would stay on the side and just watch from the side. But through our work, I'm just doing a lot of things that I just would not normally think possible. And so now, you know, I go and I get in and I don't care who's there. I'm just there to be there with my boy, and we're having fun, and I'm not rushing to get out of there because I'm uncomfortable. We just have fun, and we're just there and present in that moment. I don't even know how to explain it. It's changed so much.
That's life changing.
Yeah.
That's life changing when you have the freedom to actually get in the game of your life and be present instead of sitting on the sidelines, not being in the photos, not getting in the bathing suit, right? I could list a gazillion things that women avoid doing because they're so worried about other people's judgment. But the truth is they're judging themselves.
Right.
So I think that that's really powerful. How do you feel about your body now? Because, you know, a lot of women really struggle, and I know we have this conversation. How do I accept my body when I don't like it? Yeah. And if I accept it, does that mean I'm never going to lose weight? So you have lost weight.
I have.
It's happened with ease because you haven't even really tried. It's come back to those, I'm just going to make choices that nurture my body. I'm going to move my body. But you learned to like, love, accept your body. It's okay. Long before you lost weight. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so that was a big struggle for me in terms of what you said earlier about accepting versus liking versus being comfortable. And so I just really struggled with that. And I think on one of your I need to get a drink. Hold on. Sorry about that.
If I can barbecue chicken on a podcast episode, you can take a sip of water.
Okay.
It's all good.
One of your podcasts, you brought this up about how do you like yourself and accept it, but not stay there? Like, my concern was when you said that to me, I was like, you're nuts. Like, you can't, because then don't you just stay there and then you get fatter and bigger and, you know, nothing changes. And so, you know, we talked through that and I started working through, okay, through the mirror work is really what really was the catalyst to it. Just saying, okay, this is what it is right now. And what can I do? So I definitely understand, like, I understand that my body will do what I ask it to do if I give it the fuel to do it. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm giving it fuel that is sugar and, you know, junk and not really good for it, it's going to do what I'm asking it to do. Because basically by doing that, what I'm asking it to do is just get fat. If I want it to be healthy, if I feed it healthy stuff, and stuff that's going to be, you know, real fuel to my body, it then will respond in that manner. So that's basically what I did. I'm not a big workout person right now. I just haven't gotten there yet. But I felt like what I could do very easily with minimal effort without having to change a whole lot of stuff. It's just make good choices, make not good choices, but make better choices that would give my body what it needed to do what I wanted to do, and that is to be healthy. So, and so I basically just started making better choices. And so instead of eating the cheeseburger, I would get a grilled chicken. I didn't feel deprived. I just felt, okay, my body really needs chicken as opposed to the cheeseburger if I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And so it's just happened. And really in the last, it's been 8-9 weeks now, I'm down. My math is really terrible. And I say that as a business owner, probably is terrible to say that, but my math is bad. I think I'm down, 24 pounds in the last 9 weeks. And I really honestly have not gone to the gym at all. I've done 2 yoga classes though in the last week, believe it or not, because I'm feeling more excited.
And no obsessing about food.
No.
So what I want you guys to hear is as Monique changed the thoughts and beliefs she was carrying about herself, right? When we step into that place of feeling worthy and partnering with our body and no longer feeding our body toxic thoughts, right? Because it's abusive when we're in our heads telling ourselves toxic thoughts every day. When we stop doing that, when we start approaching our body with love and compassion and respect and admiration, now taking action, eating healthier foods is coming from I want to respect my body. I want to love my body. Whereas when you're trying to eat healthier and you're still thinking toxic thoughts, what you're saying to your body is, I'm going to make you eat this, but it's like punishment. I want you to change. I'm punishing you. We're not good enough. If I lose weight, then I'll be good enough. Then I'll feel confident. Then I'll feel better about myself. And that is so ass backwards. We have to feel better about ourselves first and then making the choices to support it, because we're being a different person now. That will just come naturally.
Right, right.
People are terrified of that. They're afraid if they accept their body, like you said, they're going to gain a gazillion pounds. So they believe if they don't stay in this place of punishment, being hard on themselves, they'll never be motivated to change, which is the exact opposite. When you actually care about something, when something matters to you, you will show up for this. And if you don't believe it, right, look at your relationships with your kids, with your partner, with your friends, with your business. If it matters to you, you will put love and attention on it. So if you start mattering to yourself, you'll start putting love and attention on it instead of like, I have to do this. You're not good enough. And why can't you change? And
right. I'm telling you, Lisa, when you first said that to me, I was like, this woman is nuts. Like, there's no way. I mean, we're all taught, you know, weight loss has to be terrible and torture, and you got to, you know, deprive yourself and be, you know, this maniac in the gym 99 hours a day. I just thought you were nuts. I was like, that's just not going to work. And then I just started doing it, and then it just happening. I'm like, I get on the scale, and I have to be careful because I'll get scale obsessive. So I only allow myself once a week to get on. But it's like, whoa, the first week I was like, what, how did that happen? And I didn't recall, like, I never felt that during that time that I was missing out on anything, that I didn't, you know, I mean, I go on date nights, and date nights mean frozen margaritas, and it is what it is. And I'm still, you know, dropping. And so, which date night, that's another huge thing that started since we started working together. You and I worked together, and that's been huge and very, a really great, great, great result of our work is me being able to spend that quality time again with my husband, which is really awesome. So I'm sorry, I jumped.
That's great, because it just brings it full circle, because this whole journey, you know, people think that it's about food and their bodies, but our bodies are a symptom. Our bodies physically show us what's going on the inside. And when we stop looking at the symptom and we start really embracing who we are, taking responsibility for those thoughts, creating the life we want instead of waiting, well, when this happens, then I'll be happy. You know, it's the when then scenario.
Right. Right.
So ultimately you're losing weight, but that now out of all the transformational things that have happened in your life, is like the smallest piece. It's like the most insignificant piece. It's like, that's the cherry on top, right? Like that's the bonus.
Right. Right.
If I said to you, you could have only lost those pounds and none of the other results would have come, you would probably have chosen to keep the weight and have all the other results.
Right. Right.
Right. It's fascinating where this work can take you. So I am just so proud of you. I would love for you to tell people, because you've talked about this mirror work a few times, and I know people are going to be like, well, what are you doing? So why don't you tell everybody what this looks like for you? And when I first asked you to do this, she did not throw confetti in the air.
Nope. That was not what happened.
No, I think you actually had to go out and buy the mirror. Cause like you said, you had no mirrors in your house that were for below the neck.
I did. So yeah. So in one of our sessions we had talked you were talking about this accepting of your body, and I recognized during that conversation that I said to you, I'm like, you know, I won't even look in the mirror. Like I won't, like we don't have any mirrors that are not from the neck up. Anything lower than the neck we don't have in the house. I won't even go to the store to try clothes on because there's three mirrors. Like it's like 20, it's like 360 or 180. And that's just like, oh heck no. So, you know, you said, okay, I want you to go out and get a full length mirror. And you told me to write on the mirror with a marker or whatever, be kind. And then you told me to spend, in the beginning, you said just a few minutes, just standing there, just recognizing and acknowledging the current state and what it looked like, and identify things that I liked about it. Identifying the liking part was really difficult in the beginning, to be honest. And it's actually gotten easier since I listened to your podcast about this, because you came up with some really good ones. I'm like, wow, I didn't even think about that. And so what I do is I do it twice a day, actually, in the morning, before I get dressed. I stand full there looking, and I turn to the side, each side. And then I do my accepting I literally have a conversation with my body, which is kind of crazy, I guess, when I think about it.
It's not crazy at all. Would you have a conversation with your partner? You love him, right? Like this is part of the uncomfortable. This is why it's like awkward and uncomfortable, because what I ask my clients to do is actually have a relationship with themselves. So it requires a conversation. You've been cut off from the neck down for most of your life. You've been ignoring this entire part of you. So of course you're going to have a conversation with your body, and it's only weird if you choose to make it weird.
Right. Right. Okay.
Okay. It's so, working. So who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and so I do that. And I do, you know, again, I'll have conversations, and I make agreements with myself, you know, like I'm agreeing now that I'm going to start adding physical activity into the mix. And so I've been doing yoga twice a week, only 2 days. And those are the two roughest days ever because they're so hard. I didn't know yoga could be so difficult.
It's hard.
It is. I thought like, oh, that's for people who like to meditate and sit. No, not at all. So that's been fun. And so I just feel like I'm not beating myself up. As I walk past the mirror, I'm not like turning away. I'm like, oh, check out that, you know, which is funny. Yeah. But I do it now. I catch myself doing it a couple of times. And since I did the yoga, like I'm already recognizing like changes in like my legs and what have you. And so I'm like, oh, wow, look at you, you know? So
I love that. And I want to give everybody listening permission to look at themselves in the mirror and admire themselves, because I think as women, we've been told like, don't have an ego. So then we've disconnected from ourselves, right? Like we're allowed, you know, whether you believe God, the universe, whatever your thing is, you are given this amazing vehicle to do life in. It gives you so many things, right? Our ability to hug our kids, go for walks, all our, you know, senses. Yet we disregard the fact that every single day, every single hour, every single minute, every single second, it is showing up for us and keeping us alive. If we can't look at ourselves in the mirror and appreciate it, and you don't have to be a size two, you can be any shape or size. It's simply saying like, thank you. I'm so grateful that I get to have this amazing vehicle, because our bodies really are, I don't know if you've ever seen, what is that show where he like, they will put it on in like science places where you can see all the anatomy, like the real muscles. And I can't remember what it's called. Anyways, it's crazy. You can see the whole, they're real people, real cadavers, horses and people and stuff where you can, they've got them in motion so you can see the body. I'll try and look it up. I'll put it in the show notes. Phenomenal.
Okay.
A little creepy, but amazing. Our bodies are so phenomenal, and we literally step over them every single day. We don't value them. And by looking in the mirror, we're saying, I value this. I value that it gives me life. So I may not like everything about it, but hot damn, I get to do my life because I have this container. It deserves my attention. And women in particular, you know, our feminine energy grounded in our body. When was the last time you even put your hands on yourself? Right? Like, and actually like touched your legs and touched your stomach and touched your butt and just, oh, this is me. So I really appreciate the fact that you've so committed to this and then you're reaping the rewards of it. You know, it's been such an honor and pleasure. It's every client I get to work with, I'm so in awe of them. I get off calls and I'm just like, wow, I get to work with such amazing women who really show up for themselves. And that's kind of what, you know, if you choose to work with me, you don't really have a choice. You cannot hide from me.
It's not happening.
I ask very hard questions, and my job is to facilitate transformation. I'm not going to let you stay in a state of suffering. That's not my job. So I know that this interview and you having the courage to share your story, because I know it's vulnerable to talk about this stuff, it's very personal, is going to help so many people listening, because so many women are going to hear this and recognize that they can do this for themselves too, and that it doesn't need to be hard, and that it really just starts with learning how to love themselves, learning how to identify the things they're telling themselves about themselves, and that it's possible for anybody. Is there any kind of closing statement or anything you want to say to leave the listeners with?
Just that, know that you are worth it and you are enough. That those two things, if you can get that, the rest of it just comes easy. Well, yeah, it comes easy. And those two things that are the hardest to get past.
Isn't it interesting, right? Because we come into this world like just perfect. If you think about your son, right? As soon as you had him in your arms, he didn't have to do anything to deserve being loved and belonging. He was worthy like right out of the gate. We all are. So what makes us believe that as we've gotten older and life is life, that suddenly we're not deserving of that? We are.
Right.
We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to prove it. We don't have to go out there and get other people to tell us. And no, you know, your self-worthiness fairy is not going to show up at your front door. It's something that every single person needs to claim for themselves. And when you really make that commitment to yourself, saying, I am going to have an amazing relationship with myself, because you know, we're all our own special snowflakes. Right. Everything changes. So your reality reflects your internal thermometer about yourself. So that's where you start, on the inside out, not on the outside in. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing this time with me. I can't wait to get this episode out into the world and let people hear your story, because I know it's going to be so helpful. I adore you.
Thank you, my dear.
It's been amazing. Okay, we'll talk.
Yes.
Soon. And I'll
see darling. You
all on the next episode. If you're like most of the women I work with, you just took in Monique's story and thought, wow, that sounds just like me. And if that's the case, then just like Monique, amazing results and transformation is available to you. I'm going to be opening the doors to Weight Loss from Within very, very soon. And if you want to make sure that you don't miss that opportunity to create your own peace and happiness and joy in your body from the inside out, make sure you get your name on the wait list. You'll be at the front of the line when doors open, and we'll be the first to know about the amazing bonuses. So just simply go to lisacarpenter.ca/WFW waitlist. Again, that's lisacarpenter.ca/WFW waitlist. And I can't wait until we open the doors and see you inside this 30-day live transformational program. Your entire life can change in 2020.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.